Okay, today's daf is Ayin Bet. We're going to start back on Ayin Aleph Amud Bet. We'll review from the Mishnah to what we got up to, and then continue from there. Okay, for what's the most important about Dino is Avram Shumim and Chanuk, or Mipanim, or Lipnina, about Rachel, Frida Chaim, Alk, Esther, Bat Zipporah, Daniel, Mirim, Chaya, Ruth, Yosef, and Rachel, Leah, Bat Rivka, Rafael, Yeshua, Felik, Ben Brachabati, Elmir, and Bat Chaya, Rina Chaya, Bat Shoshana, Leazar Chaim, Ben Drezi, Yaakov, and Rosa, Leilo, Nishmachana, Bat Zatara, Reza, Bat Zara. Okay, we had our Mishnah. Let's just review the Mishnah. Amru lo, nichtov get li ishtecha, should we write a get for your wife? Amar lahem, ktovu, he says, yes, please write the get. And then what did they do? Amru la sofer, they wrote to the sofer, v'katav, v'la edim v'chatmu. So then they told the sofer, write it. They told edim, sign it. Af al pisha katvu v'chatmu v'natnu lo, v'chazaru netano la, even if they write it, they sign it, they give it to him. And then they give it to the wife, hare ze get batel. It doesn't work. Why? And this is going to be the line that's going to we're going to struggle with. Ad she omar la sofer ktov ve'le'edim chatomu. Until it's only good once you say to the sofer, write it, direct instructions from the husband, and direct instructions from the husband to the edim to sign it. So the first assumption the Gemara makes is, and we're just going to read from the top because it's an important thing to understand the whole flow. Ta'ama delo amar tnu. The first assumption they make, which later on we're going to reject this assumption, okay, or at least we're going to raise the possibility that maybe we reject this assumption, is that, what did you notice here? He only said ketovu. He didn't say tnu. Ha'amar tnu, no tnim, but if he had said give it, then it would work. And therefore, who would we say this is according to if it works? If the shlichim could affect shlichut and pass it on to someone else, well, that has to be Rabbi Meir's opinion, right? De'amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, he de'amar mile mimsran l'shaliach. That a shaliach is allowed to pass on instructions to another shaliach, right? Even if there's no physical item. But then, if we say that, it doesn't make sense with the ending. Because what does the ending say? Ema seifa, the end of the Mishnah says, ad shiomra l'sofer ktov l'edim chatomu. It only works if you say you have to sign and you have to write it. Direct instructions, which sounds like Atan the Rabbi Yossi. Damar mili lo mimsrin l'shaliach. So you follow the beginning, seems to match Rabbi Meir. Now again, it's only an inference from the beginning. Because the case was ktovu, the assumption is that if you wrote tnu, if he had said tnu, it would work. That's the assumption, okay? This is what we're working on. Based on this assumption, that's what raises our question. Because we have an assumption from the Reisha, and then the last line of the Seifa saying, Ad she yomar la sofer, right? Tov, la'idim chatomu, it doesn't work, which is Rabbi Yossi. So this part's Rabbi Yossi, and this part matches Rabbi Meir, the top part, that you can actually, the shlichim, if you said the right words, right, the magic words, you said, Tov, vitnu, right, then it would actually work. So now, first the Gemara says, so Reisha Rabbi Meir, but say for Rabbi Yossi, how could you have that? And then the Gemara answers, no, it actually could work. Reisha Rabbi Meir, but say for Rabbi Yossi, once in a while when we're stuck, we're pushed into a corner, we say, the beginning part is Rabbi Meir, the end part is Rabbi Yossi. Like I said yesterday, this is a very, 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 very difficult reading of the Mishnah. I even look back at it and I tried to see, I mean, it looks like the entire Mishnah is one flow, one concept, right? This doesn't, right, if you did this, it doesn't work. Because it only works once you say this, right? It's very hard to say that it's two different people talking here. It very much looks like one person. Although we're going to see, we're going to give a different reading, but in the end they're actually going to give us one of the answers that we have no choice but to say, Reisha Rabbi Meir, say for Rabbi Yos. But here comes Abai, and he has a different explanation. Abai Amar Kula Rabbi Meir, here the Hacha B'mayas Kinan, Delo Amar Tnu. Right? So it's like Rabbi Meir, and if you didn't say Tnu, then that's why it doesn't work. So then they say, Ihachi, ad shiomar tnu b'bayle, but that doesn't match the last line, because the last line said, ad shiomar l'sofer ktov l'edim chatomu. It should have said, ad shiomar tnu. So it really doesn't work. Ela, hacha b'mayas kinan, delo amar l'beit zlata. Maybe it means that you didn't say to three people. Because remember we said Rabbi Meir only works, the shlichim can pass it on when you made them into a beit din, meaning when you said it in front of three. So again, ihachi ad shiomar l'shlosha m'bayle. Ela, so now he says, okay, so it can't be Rabbi Meir because the last words, right, the seifa again, never matches up with him. Ela kula Rabbi Yosihi. V'hacha b'mayas kinan delo amar imru. Right, that he didn't say the words imru l'sofer sheikhtov. He just said, right, write the get. Because if he says Imru, we said before that according to Rabbi Yossi, again, there was a whole machloket about, we're going to see, but the first assumption was that Rabbi Yossi would agree that if you said Imru la sofer, that they'd be allowed to tell a sofer. So then they say, Ihachi ad shiomar Imru mibayle. Then it should have said in the Seifa, not ad shiomru la sofer k'tov la'idim k'tomu, until he said Imru la sofer shiachtov la'idim shiachtomu. And you sign. So ve'od mi mode Rabbi Yossi ba'omer Imru. Does Rabbi Yossi really mode ba'omer Imru? V'hatnan. Okay, now remember, we had a whole ma'alach here to prove it. It's going to be a few steps. The Mishnah says k'tav sofer ve'eg kasher. Right, if you have the handwriting of the sofer and he says, yeah, that's my handwriting, he verifies it. The aide says, yes, that's my signature. It's kasher. The Amar Rabbi Yirmiya. Chatam sofer shaninu. It can't just be that he verified his handwriting and there was one aid signed. There's no such thing as one aid signed on a get. It must be that the sofer himself was signed on the get. Va'amar Rav Chista now says, if you're going to explain that the two people signed on the get, one was the sofer and one was an aid, you're going to have to assume that this mission is Rabbi Yossi. Why? Manitimani Rabbi Yossi hita amar mili lo mimsir v'lashaliach. Because, what's the concern? If you could pass on things to a shaliach, we're concerned that maybe in a case where the husband says, Imru, we're not up to the Imru case yet. In the case where the sofer signed, what's the concern? That maybe that we should never allow the sofer to sign because there's a concern that if he can pass on to other people the responsibility is the shaliach, it could be there was a case where the husband said, that the sofer can write, and I want these particular edim to sign. In other words, when anyone can sign, so it doesn't matter, because according to Rabbi Meir, you can pass it on the responsibility to anybody else. But if he specifically wanted two specific people, then there would be a concern, and there's a concern when we see this get that was signed by the sofer and an aid, we don't know what the situation was. But if you can pass on words to a shaliach, then there's a concern that maybe you mistakenly thought you could, because you... What does it mean you could pass on? You could pass on as long as he didn't designate specific people. And then we're concerned that maybe he said specific people, but in the end he said, well, those specific people, one of them didn't want to sign because they said it's embarrassing to the sofer that I'm not letting him sign. What, I'm not good enough to sign your shtar, right? It's almost like at a wedding, right? You need to have kosher witnesses. So if you won't let someone be a witness, it's an embarrassment to them. You know, they might say, what, I'm not good enough to be a witness? So you don't trust me? So therefore, only in a case where we can pass it on to a shaliach are we concerned that maybe they had the sofer do it because the edim didn't get the direct instructions, right? And they might have passed on. And when he said specifically people, then we're worried that since in general you can pass on, they might have also passed on this responsibility in the case where there was a sofer. And that they figured that's more important than the specific person he designated. Okay? And therefore, this has to be Rabbi Yossi, because according to Rabbi Meir, it wouldn't be kasher because we'd have this concern. So now they're going to say, if we have the concern in that case, we can also have the concern according to Rabbi Yossi in the Amar Imru case. So Isal Kadatach Mode Rabbi Yossi Ba'omer Imru Nefet Mina Chorva. You could also have a problem here because Zimnin Da Amar Lehu Lishnayim Imru Lesofer V'yachtov Uploni Uploni V'yachtemu. Imru, again, just like passing on Shlichut in other cases, there's two kinds of cases. One is you say Imru, and then you say, and have Adim sign. Or one is you say Imru, and you want so-and-so and so-and-so specifically to sign. So in that case, right, what are we concerned? Right, we might be concerned that once, and the whole issue is, once we allow a sofer into the picture, right, then maybe, a sofer who didn't hear the husband's instructions come into the picture, that's the whole issue, and I realize now. When the sofer hears the husband's instructions that you wanted, that he specifically wanted so-and-so and so-and-so to sign, then he'll obviously let them sign. But if he didn't hear the instructions directly from the husband, then I think that maybe that's the issue, that then we're worried, since in all these cases, what are we having? We're having a sofer who didn't get directly instructed by the husband, and he might be embarrassed. You know, it'll be embarrassing to him, and they'll say, oh, we're not going to embarrass the sofer. We're not going to sign. We'll let the sofer sign. So therefore, in a case of Imru, also Rabbi Yossi should be concerned that nafet mina chorva, that we're going to have this problem, that the sofer might accidentally sign. and therefore it shouldn't be allowed. So again, we had two questions now on this. First of all, it should have said Ad Shiomer Imru. And number two, we don't even know if Rabbi Yosef for sure would allow Imru. So the whole thing was to say that this mission was in the case of Imru. So therefore, they reject reading it like Rabbi Yossi. So we've rejected reading it like Rabbi Meir. We've rejected reading it like Rabbi Yossi. Therefore, the Gemara concludes, Ella, we have no choice but to say, Mechuvarta, it seems to be, Reisha Rabbi Meir, Vesefer Rabbi Yossi. Okay, the sugya could end here, but we now get another option. Rav Ashi Amar, remember Rav Ashi is always the last one in the Gemara. Again, we've talked about that the Gemara has different levels. There's things that were, Rav Ashi put together the Gemara. After that, there were notes that people wrote on the side that ended up getting put into the text of the Gemara. So he's not always only the last one, but he's the last one by name usually mentioned. Okay. After that, there are people called the Sforaim or Stamaim, which don't have names. It's like people wrote their notes on the side in the time period between 500 and 800, and they got incorporated into the Gemara. Okay, but in terms of the Emoraim, he's like at the end of the Emoraim. And he says, here, Rav Ashi Amar Kula Rabbi Yossi. I can explain that this whole thing is Rabbi Yossi. The Lo Mebaya Kamar. Okay, what is Lo Mebaya Kamar? It's a particular structure of a Mishnah. Okay, they explain sometimes it's where they go from the easier case to the more difficult case. Lo Mebaya Hecha De Lo Amar Tnu. What was our whole assumption? It says ktovu. It means ktovu, but tnu would work. Now we're going to reject this assumption. He's saying it's not, you don't even need to say the case where lo amar tnu. Ela afilu amar tnu lo. Even if he said tnu, it also wouldn't work. Velo mabaya hecha de lo amar lebe tlata. Ela afilu amar lebe tlata lo. And it doesn't even, right, and it doesn't even need to say, but if you didn't say in front of two, it doesn't even need to tell you if you didn't say it in front of two. Even if you said it in front of three, it wouldn't work. Okay? In other words, we're going to say that the Mishnah is including all sorts of other cases that weren't mentioned. In other words, the assumption we made at the beginning that tnu would work because it wasn't mentioned here, they're saying, no. Ktovu doesn't work, and even tnu wouldn't work. Two people doesn't work, and even three people wouldn't work. Okay? Because this is Rabbi Yossi, the all-inclusive approach that nothing works. And now we're going to get to the Imru. Okay, so now we say that the Mishnah gave like a simpler case, but even the more, or I don't know what you call it, the simpler case, or the basic case, but even if it got more matirani, where you think it would be okay, because he said tnu, because he said imru, because it was in front of three, all those cases Rabbi Meir would hold it was okay. In this Mishnah, even though it doesn't say it explicitly, it means all those cases wouldn't work either. Okay, so now Tanya Kavatei Rav Ashi. Now we're going to have a brayta that goes like him: Katav Sofer Lishma veChatmu Edim Lishma. The Sofer wrote it Lishma, and the Edim signed Lishma. Af Apish Katvu veChatmu veNatnu Hulo veNatnu La. Right, even though they wrote it, signed it, gave it to him, and then gave it to her. Hare Haget Batel Ad Shishmeu Kolo Shiomar LeSofer Ktov LeEdim Chotomu. Until what? Until he hears. Okay, this is an interesting word they're going to darshan in a minute. Until they hear from his voice. Okay, this is going to go back to what we learned yesterday. That he says to the sofer directly, Ktov, uleidim chatomu. Okay, so now, Yishmeu, why does it say Yishmeu? Until they hear directly, Lafuke mimanda amar, mode Rabbi Yossi, bomer imru. Right, to tell us, Rabbi Yossi is not mode in the omer imru case. The sofer has to hear it directly. Why does it say kolo here? Okay, now that was the purposes of our sugya. That's why we brought this. Now we're going back to yesterday's sugya. Why does it say kolo? La fuke mi derav kahana amarav. That was where we started yesterday. Where did we start yesterday? With the statement at the very top of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. He says, Chereish yechol ledaber mitoch haktav, kotvim v'notnim get lishto. And comes this braita to say, that is not the case. Okay? That you can't have, okay, now this is one opinion, right? It's not everyone's opinion. But it goes against Rav. Remember, this came before Rav, right? It's a braita. But it comes to show that you have to actually hear from his voice. Now, there's a whole debate among the Rishonim, and this just gets into an interesting question. We saw two ways, okay, in the last 2 days about how you could do it without actually hearing your voice. The first was the Mishnah, which talked about you could shake your head. Remember, and Elaim could shake his head. And then we had the Cheresh case, which Rav brought up about the writing it. So because it says here, lafukei midrav kana amar rav, so the mefarshim, some of the mefarshim say it's only him, but it still agrees with the Mishnah that you could shake your head, because shaking your head is better than writing. And there's a whole big debate, and we can argue this if we had time, about which, okay, some of them say, no, it's both opinions. You can't shake your head, you can't write, you actually have to hear the voice. And there's a whole debate about which is a better form. Is it the cheresh, who can't, now remember, what's the weakness of the cheresh? He can't hear and he can't speak, so he's considered halachically b'li da'at. And that's why he's worse than shaking the head. Where the shaking the head case, he was just lame, he couldn't speak, but he could hear, and therefore we assumed he did have da'at, he just can't speak. So there's a debate about whether, therefore, it's only excluding the cheresh case, because the cheresh really doesn't have da'at, or do we say no, because writing is actually a stronger form of communication than shaking heads. So maybe it comes to exclude both. So there's a whole debate about which is a better form, or does it really matter whether it was the chiresh versus an ilaim? And the difference is there. Okay, so again, like I said, there's a debate about it, machloket, how to understand all this. It gets back to, I forgot to mention yesterday, there was an interesting Rambam that there was a debate about. Let's see if I have my notes here. Yeah. Rambam says that a chiresh ve'eno medaber, okay, if he can't hear and he can't speak, his kinyan is not a kinyan. And then there's a whole debate about whether the commentaries on the Rambam, the Maharam Sheikh specifically says that there's a difference between a cheresh who can't speak at all, or a cheresh who can speak but you can't understand what he's saying. So that a cheresh who can't speak at all is in a worse situation, then you could call him a cheresh ve'eino medaber, even though he can speak, but you can't understand him. And if they make a distinction there, then maybe that's a better, in other words, there's two different types of cheresh ve'eino medaber, even within cheresh ve'eino medaber, okay? There's someone who can speak, just not be understood, versus someone who can't speak at all, which is also interesting. Okay, so we'll move on. Zekitech, now we're going to talk about get lachar mita. Before we start, I'll just give some background. We learned about get lachar mita doesn't work. There's two basic positions as to why get lachar mita doesn't work. One is to say that once the husband dies, the marriage is gone, dissolved. So there's nothing to separate from anymore. There is no marriage. So a get is a useless type of thing. Other people say, no, get lachar mita doesn't work because what do you need in get? You need the husband's ratzon. Well, there's no ratzon of a husband if the husband's dead. I was thinking that opinion also goes back to what we were talking about. If the husband appoints a shaliach, they give it after his death, and that is the shaliach functioning for the husband at that moment, or is the shaliach functioning for the husband the way he was when he gave the orders? Well, here we're going to see that the husband gave orders and intended the get to happen when he's dead, but since he's no longer there, then the get can't be affected. So two different approaches. Is it a problem with the get itself as a useless thing, or it doesn't have the ratzon of the intent of the husband, because the husband can't possibly have intent, he's dead. Zegitech imati, zegitech micholize, zegitech la'achar mita lo amar klum. This is your get if I die, this is your get, okay, micholize means if I die from this disease. Zegitech la'achar mita, this is your get after my death. Why would a husband say this? Because he doesn't want his wife to do yibum, right? He doesn't like the idea of her marrying the brother or having to do chalitza, so he's trying to protect her. When I die, you'll be divorced. Okay, this obviously doesn't work. Excuse me. Lo amar klum. It's a useless statement because ain't get la'achar mita. But what if he says, zegitech, I'm going to add the words because it doesn't say it, but that's the obvious, zegitech me hayom imati, me achshav imati. This is you get from today if I die. This is you get from now if I die. That's what happens when I die retroactively. Your get will be a get from now. If he says it like that, okay, hare ze get. That works.
Is it true? Did we learn this in Yavah?
Yeah, we learned this. Yeah. We've definitely seen this case a whole bunch of times. Yeah. We've seen it. We started in Tubot also. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mehayom ula achar mita. What if he says from today and after I die? Which seems to be a combination of options one and option two in the Mishnah, right? So get ve'eno get. It's a get misafek, because you said a lashon that seems to indicate mehayom, but you also said it sounds like it's going to be a get after I die. So therefore, what do we say? What's in a suffik get? Imet choletzef lo mekiyabem. It's us referred to yibum because of the isra of esharach, which is only overridden if there's a chi of yibum vaadai. Since the chi of yibum suffik, we can't do yibum because otherwise it's isra arayo marrying the esharach, and therefore we do chalitza. Ze gitech mehayom imati micholi ze. This will be your get from today if I die from this sickness. Now this is a very interesting. Okay, this is interesting medically. Amar v'halach bashuk. Let's say he gets up, he looks like he's better, he goes to the shuk, and then he gets sick, vimet, and he dies. So, right, is he dying from the first sickness, or is this something new that he's dying from, right? Without proper autopsies, or, right, exactly, how do you know? Omdin oto, here it sounds like they do an autopsy, right? They try to figure out, im machmach choli harishon met, hare ze get, v'im lav eino get. They try to assess, was it really still from the first machala or not? Right, this is like people who do diagnose diseases, right? It's very hard to know when you're sick with something and then you become sick with something else. Are they connected? Are they not connected, right? This is part of, you know, one of the difficulties of medicine. Alma, so the Gemara starts out and says, okay, let's make some assumptions here. Alma, imati, kila acharmita dami. It sounds like if you say the term, they were struggling with this term, imati. Okay, the first whole section of the Gemara is going to be something that already is obvious, but the Gemara is kind of questioning it, and then it'll say it's obvious because of the way we already learned the Mishnah. From the beginning of the Mishnah, zegitech imati, it sounds like the imati means kila acharmita dami, right? It's like saying after I die. V'hadar tani, but then later on it says in the Mishnah, in the second section, mehayom imati, me'achshav imati, which we said works, right? Because it's not la'acharmita. Alma imati lav kila'acharmita dami, right? So it sounds like imati isn't kila'acharmita. So now Amar Abaye, imati shtei l'shono mashma. Imati could go both ways. Mashma kime'achshav, u'mashma kila'acharmita. It could work as it's takef now, or it could work as kila'acharmita. Why? Amar la mehayom. If he says mehayom, then command amar la meachshav. Dame. It's like he said mehayom is just like he says meachshav, and then it would work. Lo amar la mehayom ka amar la acharmita dami. Right? If he doesn't say mehayom and he just says imati, it means kila acharmita. Okay. We already explained the Mishnah the way the Gemara explains it at the conclusion. So, sort of a moot question. Zekitech imati lo amar klum. Now, okay, it seems very clear in this Mishnah that what? If you say zegitech imati, that's a basically totally useless statement, right? That's what it means, lo amar klum. Everyone agrees? That's the simple reading of the Mishnah. Comes Rav Huna and complicates things. Amar Rav Huna, v'choletzet. She has to do chalitza in this case, meaning she can't do yibum. Okay, I want to make it clear in case I might be assuming things that people understand because we learned yavama for a long time. But there's a chiyuv to do yibum. If the brother dies without children. If a guy dies without children, then his wife has to do yibum. She has to marry his brother. Okay? Now, generally, you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife, eshet ach. It's isur arayo. Because of the chiyuv of yibum, it overrides the isur erva of eshet ach. However, when we're not sure if you're supposed to do yibum or not, it becomes an issue of maybe you were married, maybe you're not married, maybe the get was a good get. Because of that, we don't allow the overriding of the chiyuv of yibum overriding the isur erva. And therefore we say, well, you still potentially have a chiyuv yibum because it's a safek, so therefore you do chalitza, which is a way of getting out of doing yibum. You don't get married. You know, he spits in the shoe and there's this whole ceremony that's very embarrassing, and humiliating would be a better word. And then at least she's free to marry anyone until she, the other thing I didn't say, which is she, as soon as he dies, she has to marry the brother or someone until either she marries him or he does chalitza. If he gives her a get, it doesn't mean she still needs chalitza in order for her to be free to marry anybody else. Okay? Until she does chalitza, she can't marry anyone else. So now, what does Rav Huna say? In this case, it's a safek and she has to do chalitza. Now, Gemara's going to say, what do you mean? V'halo amar klum katane. It says, it's nothing. When he says, this will be your get after I die, why should she do chalitza? It's a useless, meaningless statement. So now what do they say? They're going to have a bunch of different explanations here. Lo amar klum, da'asira la'alma, uli abam, nami asira. What does it mean, lo amar klum? Lo amar klum means that she is forbidden, she's not considered divorced to the sense that she's forbidden to the world, but she's also forbidden to the yabam. In other words, what it really means is she's in this in-between case. In other words, sorry, we view it as a get to the extent that she can't marry the yabam, but we don't view it as a get to the extent that she's not allowed to marry anybody else until she does chalitza and gets out of her marriage. So lo amar klum means, which doesn't really, it doesn't sound like it means this, but it's they're going to say lo amar klum means she's suffic divorced, okay? And therefore, she's stuck. It's kind of a way of saying she's stuck. She can't marry anybody. Okay, so right until she gets chalitza. Now, they're going to say this reading is a bad reading, okay? Why? Because if you notice the Mishnah, what did it say? At the toward the end of the Mishnah, what it gave a case, right? Mehayom ula achar mita. That was their suffic case, and it says get bein o get bein meit choletze belomit yabemet. Right, and it didn't say that in the first line. Right, there were three sections. First section lo klum. Second section get. Third section suffic. So now they're going to say v'hami de sefa choletze. Since it said in the sefa she does chalitza michal de reisha yivum einami miyama. It sounds like in the reisha she's still married. She'd have to do yibum. By the way, I just want to make it very clear, in case it's not obvious. This would only be relevant in a case where the husband had no children, right? Where the couple had no children, okay? That's obvious.
I assume that.
Okay, right. I'm just kind of saying it there, throwing it out there. Otherwise, there's less relevance to this. Matnitin kirabanan, virabhuna da'amar karabiyosi. Now what are they going to say? When Rav Huna now seems to be going against the pshat of our Mishnah. So what do we say? Oh yeah, he can because he has a different Tana that supports his view. So in other words, our Mishnah is Rabbanan, Tanakama, okay? The Rav Huna holds like Rabbi Yossi. Where, what does Rabbi Yossi hold? Damar is manoshel shtar mochiach alav. What's the case here? He gives her a get and he says, this will be your get if I die. Now, what does it say in the get? We learned you have to have a date in the get. What date did he put? He didn't put the date of his death, right? It doesn't say at the top, date of death, right? What does it say at the top? The date of that day. Well, if he writes the date of that day, comes from Yossi, and he says, look, it's got a date on it. That date shows that really what he meant, he wouldn't have written a date if it wasn't meaning this get is going to be a get right now. So it must be that even though he said the wording, if I die, what he meant is, this will be your get from now if I die. Okay? And then it would work like the other cases work. So now they say, well, but then it still doesn't work what Rav Huna said, because what does Rav Huna say? She can only do chalitza, she can't do yibum. If we hold I Rabbi Yossi, chalitza nami lo tibai, well then, she shouldn't need to do chalitza because it's a good get, perfectly good get, right? Just like the middle cases, where the get was a good get, there's no chiyuv of chalitza because she's totally divorced. B'chi tema, maybe you want to suggest that misaka leila Rav Huna I hilchataka Rabbi Yossi o ein halachaka Rabbi Yossi. Maybe he wasn't sure. In other words, there's Rabbanan who says for sure this isn't a get. Then there's Rabbi Yossi who says for sure this is a get. And maybe what Rav Huna came to say is, I don't know who he paskin like, and because I don't know who he paskin like, let's go l'chumra and make her do chalitza to be on the safe side. So now they're going to say, okay, b'chi tema is always an introduction to a suggestion that they're going to reject. So now what are they going to say here? Umi masapkale? Was he really misupak if the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi? No, because we have a story where in the story it becomes clear by the end of the story that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and that was clear to that Rav Huna is in the story, and it's clear that he paskins like Rabbi Yossi. V'ha Rabba Bar Avua chalash. Rabba Bar Avua was sick. Olegabe Rav Huna Rav Nachman. Okay, they both came to visit him. Bikur Cholim. Okay, we've seen in a lot of these Bikur Cholim visits they become halachic discussions. Amar le Rav Huna le Rav Nachman. Huna says to Rav Nachman, "By me name, Rabba Bar Avua halacha ke Rabbi Yossi or ain halacha? I want to ask Rabba Bar Avua, is the halacha like Rabbi Yossi or is it not?" Here you see he was Masupak, okay, but by the end of the story he's no longer. Amar le. So now Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, "Tama de Rabbi Yossi lo yadana halacha by me name. I don't even understand where Rabbi Yossi is coming from. So why would we even think the halacha is like him? In other words, his opinion is so out there, I don't even understand it. Why would we possibly think that we could pass him like him?" So Rav Huna says back to him, Amarle, at by mine halacha. Betame de Rabbi Yossi ana amin alach. You ask him, right? It's interesting. You know, it's like that case, those situations where you're a little embarrassed to ask. You ask him, okay? Says Rav Huna to Rav Nachman. You ask him if the halacha is like him, and if you do that, I'll tell you what the reason of Rabbi Yossi is. I know the reason of Rabbi Yossi. I'll tell you later. So, Ba'amine, so they asked him, Rabbi Nachman asks Rabbi Bar Avua what the halacha is. Amarle, hachi amarav halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. Okay? He says the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. He quotes it in the name of Rav. Libatar dinafik, after they go out, so then he promised him, right, I'll tell you the reason. Amarle, hainu tama de Rabbi Yossi dekasavar zmano shel shtar mochiach alav. Right? This is the reason, because there's a date on the get, and the date proves it, and that's what Rabbi Yossi, that's his logic. So therefore, what do we see from this story? At this point, it's clear to Rav Huna that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore, when he said choletzet, he must have meant, right, it can't be because he was misupak, do we paskin like Rabbi Yossi or not? And we're left with our question of, if we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and really it's not a get, I'm sorry, really it is a get, then why should she need chalitza? She should be fine to get married without chalitza. She's not married at all to the guy. Okay? So therefore, we're still struggling to figure out why he said chalitza. Now, first of all, you could say, the Gemara doesn't answer this, but you could say that when he said chalitza, it was that in-between stage, before he knew if the halacha was like Rabbi Yossi or not. But I guess they don't like to say that, because then why was it recorded that way? In other words, it should be recorded the way he eventually knew it. But anyway, it's a possible suggestion. Therefore, what are we going to suggest? Elamisap galei, E amar Rabbi Yossi ba'al peh olo. Now, what does Rabbi Yossi say? The date of the shtar proves what the issue, right? What if you have a date in the shtar? You don't write the condition in the shtar. You don't write, this will be your get if I die. But what do? You wrote the get. Then, when you give it to the wife, you say, this will be your get if I die. So now, the question is, does Rabbi Yossi agree that in that case, are you basically canceling the date that was in the shtar? Because you're saying, well, maybe when I wrote it, I intended to give it to you now. But now I changed my mind and I decided I'm going to give it to you la'achar mita. And that basically undermines the significance of the date in the shtar.
Now, if he gives her the get with the date on it, in the get it doesn't say the conditions.
Yes. So how does that work? This all goes back to Eidei Mesira Karte, right? We hold like Rabbi Elazar that the Eidei Mesira are the important ones. Now, the Eidei Mesira are going to come and testify and say, yes, it's true, we saw him give the get, but he gave it with a condition. And that's why Eidei Mesira are also very important.
Because she can then say, I've got a get,
definitely,
she can do whatever she wants.
Definitely. It's an issue. Okay, so that maybe that was his question about whether Rabbi Yossi would agree Ba'al Peh or not, and the Mishnah was talking about a case where he said it Ba'al Peh, and then we don't know what Rabbi Yossi would hold. Umi misapkale, but are we really in doubt about what Rabbi Yossi holds about this? V'hatnan is a Mishnah that says, Harezek itechim lobati mikam v'ad yud bechodesh. Umei betoch yud bechodesh. We also saw this case.
Yes.
Beginning of Tubot. This will be your get if I don't come from now until 12 months. And then he dies within the 12-month period. It's not a get, okay? Because he couldn't have fulfilled the t'nai, and therefore the get isn't a good get. B'tane Allah, and it says about this in a braita, Rabotenu hitiru alina se. The rabbis allowed her to get married, okay, based on this. Vamrinan, my Rabotenu. Okay, they were mekel on her in this case. And they said, well, who are the rabbis who say this? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Shmuel. Beidina desharu mishcha. They were the same Beidin that allowed, this is Rabbi Yehuda Nisia, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who allowed the shemen of Ovdei Kochavim. Okay, you all know about Yei Nesach, right? You can't have wine that was touched by a non-Jew. Okay, if a non-Jew touches your wine, it's a problem because they might have offered up to their gods. There were all sorts of things they forbade of the Goyim. There's Bishul Akum, there's Pat Akum. At a certain point, they ostracized so many things that they started to be matir things. So one of the things they matir was the oil that comes from non-Jews. By the way, which is very useful, right? If you travel anywhere in the world, you could buy olive oil. Okay, you could buy like Italian olive oil. It's fine anywhere, and right, if it weren't for this, you wouldn't be able to, right? Okay, so thank you, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That's very helpful. Okay, v'savrele k'Rabbi Yossi damar zmano shel shtar mochiach alav. And now, why did they Mitiru Alina say? Because they said they hold like Rabbi Yossi, who says Manoshal Shtar Mochiach Alav. And this is a case where he said it Baal Peh. Okay, so here, because he said, Hare Zegitech im lo bati mikam vad yubechodesh. So now, yeah.
I know you had to wait 3 months after the get before she could
get married again.
The get is
if I...
Ah, yafeh. So that would be a good enough kamina. If we say the get is retroactive from before, then it... I forget. You're right. It comes up... I'm pretty sure we learned this. I don't remember the details, but... Right. In theory, that would be a question. Can you say that since the get retroactively counted from then, that she'd be allowed to get married immediately? However, if they were together, then it's a bit of a problem. Yeah. So, right. There were all these ramifications of what does she do, like Ruth said in the beginning, about eating truma. And she has to stop eating truma from that point. There's all sorts of halachic issues about this. Because it's a weird situation where they're actually married, but then it turns out retroactively they end up being divorced from it. It's complicated. Okay. So now, Ela Misapka. So what were we saying? The whole suffix we thought, why he said choletzah, was maybe because Rabbi Yossi, right? We're not sure if Rabbi Yossi said what he said ba'al peh, or he only said it, right, if the t'nai was in the get. But now we see, no, he says it even if it's ba'al peh. So now, what's the final word are we going to say? Ela misapka le'i halacha ke Rabbi Yossi ba'al peh in halacha. We know that that's what Rabbi Yossi holds, but his question is, do we hold like Rabbi Yossi only in the case where it's written in the get, the condition? Or do we hold like Rabbi Yossi, or do we not hold like Rabbi Yossi in the case where he just said it ba'al peh? Okay, that's going to be our question. Okay, maybe that's what he was confused about, and that's why he said choletzah. And again, then you'd have to say that the case in the Mishnah was where it was just ba'al peh.
Wouldn't you think the test case would be if he doesn't die? Is she divorced or not divorced?
No, she's definitely not divorced if he doesn't die. Why? Because the condition... No, but even if it's a condition about pets, it holds. The question is, can we say that the star, the tariq on the star is mochiach, when he... Because you know, what's the question? When he wrote the get, he had one intent possibly, and then later he decided, well, you know what, I'm going to give this upon condition. And then, is that override the fact that he wrote in the... Well, what does Rabbi Yossi say? I give significance to the fact that the date is written. That must be what he intended, that the get be chal from here. But if he only gives the tanai ba'al peh, then maybe he changed his mind in the interim. Maybe now he doesn't want the get to be takeh from the date he wrote. And therefore, he's saying it's only going to be your get if this happens down the road. That's the question. Now, again, we don't hold that way. Rabbi Yossi, we say in the end, holds even ba'al peh. Okay, so it does make more sense to go with that approach and not to start saying that he distinguishes between ba'al peh or not. But they were at least raising it as an issue. So now they say, wait a minute, umi misapkale, you think he was really misupak, whether we hold like Rabbi Yossi in a ba'al peh case or not? Bahama Rava, doesn't Rava say, hareze gitechi mati, vishani met, hareze get, hareze get, okay? If you say, this is your get if I die, or... Visha ani meit. That wording also means the same thing. Hareze get. Kisha amut ulachar mita. When I die or after my death, ein ze get. Hechidami. What would be the case that Rava would say this? Because what are we going to basically say? Again, why would an Amora say something that's explicit in the Mishnah? This is our Mishnah, right? Basically, it's like our Mishnah. So hechidami. Ilema da amar la mehayom. V'rabanan sricha lemeimar. In other words, if he's saying it's because he said mehayom, even though it didn't say that in Rava's words, right? But if the case were that he says mehayom, and he holds like Rabbanan, right? Then what would we say? Sricha lemeimar, would he need to say this is a get or ain't a get? In other words, we know the halacha in that area. The Mishnah already said it. V'hatnan, mehayomi mati areis a get. So therefore, that can't be what Rava's talking about. The elalav, it must be, delo amar la mehayom. Where he didn't say the word mehayom, v'Rabbi Yossi, and it's Rabbi Yossi's opinion, right, that says even the ta'arich would be enough. And then, shma mina, halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. And then, what are we trying to say? Rav is trying to tell us that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying this is a case where you didn't say mehayom, and the point of his statement was to say, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, even if it's ba'al peh. So therefore, there should be no suffix for Rav Huna. So first of all, they say, wait, two possible answers. One is, l'rava pshitale, l'rav Huna masapkale. Just because Rava thought it was obvious that halachas like Rabbi Yossi, doesn't mean Rav Huna did. You could still say that Rav Huna was masupak. V'ibayit ema, and a second question is, that's different, by the way, than Rav Huna asking Rava Baravua for a psak. Right, when he asked Rava for a psak, then we know that he holds like Rabbi Yossi. But here, this is just Rava's statement. Just because Rava said it doesn't mean Rav Huna agreed with him. So therefore, you could say that to Rava it was clear and Rav Huna didn't know. V'bayit ema, Lo olam de amar le mehayom. It was mehayom. Remember what was our problem of saying if you said it's mehayom? Well, then it's obvious. So now they're going to say why it wasn't virabanan. And it's according to Rabbanan, who said only if you say mehayom it will work. But what's different about this in our Mishnah? Vahane lishne itzdirichule. If you notice, it says imati, but it also says this other strange lashon, v'she'ani met. Or in the other case, kishe amut. So now they want to tell you the chiddush of Rava is shani met ki imati dami. It's just like imati. Kishe amut, when I die, is kila acharmita dami. Okay? And then that's the chiddush of Rava. And then you could explain it that way, in which case it wouldn't be questioning Rav Huna. So either which way, you could still say that Rav Huna was misupak if we pass it like Rabbi Yossi in a case where you said the Tanai Baal Peh. And that was his confusion, and that's why he said choletzet. So that's our conclusion here. Okay, that's very nice. We finally explained Rav Huna, why he says choletzet. Okay, it took us a long time. But now they're going to suggest a different reading of Rav Huna. Okay, just to throw us off. V'icha d'matne la'asefa. Some people say that when Rav Huna said choletzet, he was talking about, okay, now this isn't actually the sefa, this is the third case. If you look at the first three cases, what does it say in the Mishnah? Zegitech imati, zegitech micholize, zegitech la'acharmita. So now he's talking about the acharmita case. Okay? Some people say that Rav Huna's statement was made on that case. Zegitech la'acharmita, lo amar klum. Am Rav Huna ulidivrei Rabbi Yossi choletzet. So now they say, pshita. Midisefa l'rabbanan choletzet, reisha nami l'Rabbi Yossi choletzet. In other words, our Mishnah is all like Rabbanan. So now they're going to say, if Rabbanan make you choletzet in the last case, as a suffix, right? If you say, mehayom ula acharmita, then obviously Rabbi Yossi, who held that the star, right, the star is mochiach, is going to make you choletzet in his case, right, in a case where you would say, zegitech la acharmita. So they're saying, no, it's not so obvious, because ma'u detema Rabbi Yossi, behaki rebi sfirale, da'amar gita ma'al yahave, v'chalitza nami lo tibai, kamash malan. You might have thought, all of a sudden now we're going to throw in a third opinion. You might have thought that Rabbi Yossi held like Rebbe on this issue, in which case, in the case of, the last case where we say, zeget mehayom ula acharmita, Rebbe holds that it's a good get. He doesn't think that that's a lashon of either mehayom or lachamita. Since we said mehayom, that get is a good get. And maybe Rabbi Yossi holds like him, and therefore you might have thought that he wouldn't need chalitza in this case. Kamashmalan the diloke Rebbe savarla. Diloke Rebbe. No. Sorry. Kamashmalan, period. From here you can learn that that's what he wants to tell you, choletzet, even if you say the words lachamita. Okay. I didn't read it right. Let's read it again. Kamashmalan, coming to teach you what? Delo Rebbe sever like a Rabbi Yossi, below Rabbi Yossi sever like a Rebbe. And so what do they want to say? Sometimes when there's extra opinions, you might think they match up with each other. As there's Tanakama, and then there's Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe who disagree. So now they're coming to teach you that Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe don't agree with each other. Okay? Now, how do you know this? Rebbe lo sever like a Rabbi Yossi de katane kazeget. Let me ute to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi lo sever like a Rebbe de katane kazeget. Let me ute to Rebbe. Each person, when they said their disagreement with Tanakama about the case that they each disagreed with, which was a different case, right? They each disagreed in a different case. But they said, Kazeget. This case is a get. Now, if you say, this case is a get, what are you saying? This case, but not any other case. Okay? And that's coming. Each one came to exclude that, oh, by the way, I don't hold like the other. So now we want to see Mayhi. Where do we see Rebbe? Titanya mehayom ul acharmita, get ve'eno get, divrei chachabim. Okay, that's Safek case. Rebbe Omer kazeh get. He thinks that Lashon is a get. Rabbi Yossi, where does he say kazeh get? Mayhi. Ditnan. Kidvu utnu get lishtim lobati mikam vad yud bechodesh. Katavu betoch yud bechodesh nutanu la'achar yud bechodesh eino get. Rabbi Yossi Amar kazeh get. Okay, so if he says, write a get and give it to my wife, if I don't come, mikam vad yud bechodesh, and they wrote it within yud bechodesh, but they gave it after Yud Bechodesh, that's not a good get. And Rabbi Yossi says it is a good get. What's the machloket here about? You said the words, Kidvu utznu get lishti, if I don't get, right? Now what happened? He writes the get before the Yud Bechodesh, but they give it after the Yud Bechodesh. So you might have thought, when you say Kidvu utznu, right, what do you mean? You can write it whenever you want, just give it to her after. Okay? So that's why Rabbi Yossi claims this is a good get. Okay? Whereas Tanakama says, no, the kitvu and tnu, it's like a misplaced modifier. You know, where, so some people say that if it had bitten, Im lobati mikam vayud bechodesh kidvu utnu get lishti, then Rabbi Yossi would agree that it's not a get because the kidvu came after the condition. But since here it was the opposite order, it could lead to different opinions, and that's why there's a machloket about it. So that was each case where each one said, this case is a get, but not other cases, and that's why they say in the end, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi don't disagree, and that's why you needed it to tell you, if you say the Rav Huna was talking about that third case of the word la'achar mita, it's coming to tell you that he doesn't hold like Rabbi. Okay, and in that case, she has to do chalitza because it's not clear cut that it's a get.